Today, friends, we come to you again and we rejoice in the fellowship you and I can have around the person of our Savior in the study of His Word. Again, I just pray that the Lord may put into your heart and my heart a consuming hunger for the Word of God and a great love for the Savior. My, oh my, when I read the Word of God and when I read about our Savior and His wonderful love, in His sacrifice for you and me, in the patience of God, the grace of God, the tenderness of God, I'd have to bow and worship and praise to Him. And yet when I look around, I find that the great majority of people know nothing of our Savior. Many have a distorted idea about the Savior. I just trust that you and I will so know Him that we can communicate to men something of our lovely Lord, Jesus Christ. Now we're in the book of Colossians chapter 3, and we've been dealing with a very, very serious subject, and that has been the wrath of God, as found in verses 5 and 6. You remember, if I may read those verses again, where Paul exhorts the people of God to hold under the sentence of death their bodies which are on the earth, that is to hold them down for the glory of God, and to remember from which they have been delivered, not to go back to that from which they have been delivered. For I read, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Now here's a little section here where the apostle is pleading for God's people not to do the things they did before they were Christians. And he mentioned the things which are, shall I say, these sins especially come under the wrath of God. Allow me to repeat some things I said in our last lesson. As you read your Bible, as you read history, the downfall of all nations has not been war. It's been these things in this fifth verse. It caused the flood, the wrath of God upon that people before the flood. It caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It caused the destruction of the Amorite Empire. And might I say, it caused the destruction of the Babylonian Empire and of the Greek Empire and of the Roman Empire. And it's going to cause the destruction of our present day, shall I say, nations of the earth, because it's not just local, it's over the whole world. And to me, the tragedy is, in our own country, this land which has been so wonderfully, richly blessed of God for 200 years, a nation that was based on the Word of God. And we just see what men talked about 100 and 150 years ago and warned us, if we turn from the Word of God, what would take place? And we're seeing that today, in your day and my day, we are seeing the very thing which they warned us against over 100 years ago. We reap what we sow. Don't forget that. And if I sow these sins of verse 5, sins of immorality, sins of moral corruption, there's nothing left but the wrath of God. I say this very kindly. You had this in the book of Ephesians, you remember, the same thing in chapter 5. And now we have it here in Colossians chapter 3. And as I look over my generation and I see the permissiveness and the moral corruption and the indifference to the whole business, my friend, remember that when God comes in His judgment, it's going to be righteous judgment. You see, when people say, why doesn't God do something? I generally say, my friend, I do not want to be here when God does it. Because He's going to come in His wrath, taking vengeance, as 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, He's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You know, sometimes I wonder about that verse in Revelation chapter 8, the first verse, you know. There was silence in heaven for a space of time. Silence. Silence. What caused the silence? Because they knew what was going to happen when God poured his judgments and his wrath upon men. You see. And the purpose of his wrath is vengeance because of justice. And there's no question about the justice of it. As Revelation 19, do you remember? The heavenly host, holy angels, those in heaven are saying, holy and righteous are thy judgments in the earth. It's a question of righteousness. You remember, and allow me to do this again, in 2 Thessalonians in the first chapter, the wrath of God comes upon them because they know not God. They obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 of that same book, they believe not the truth. They love not the truth. And because they do not love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion to believe the lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth. And I see this today in our own wonderful land. It breaks your heart. I tell you, my Christian friend, can I say a word to you Christians? Will you spend some time today before God pleading the mercy of God upon America? Will you do that? Confess the sins of this nation before God. It may be the Lord will have mercy toward us. Pray for those in authority, that we might lead a quiet, peaceable life in all sobriety. Oh, how we Christians need to pray for these men in authority. Sometimes I'm wondering if the God of this world hasn't blinded their minds. And when I see, even among Christians, let me change the word, for sometimes I wonder if they are Christians. When I see even men who have been trained for the ministry of the Word of God, advocating permissiveness, declaring that this is a common thing in society. You know, this is our society. God forbid it should be our society. When these sins of verse 5, which is the cause for the wrath of God, are coming upon men. May the Lord put you and me in the dust and plead with God for our generation. Our Lord came to this earth. In fact, the very first promise of the book of Matthew was in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He sent his Son into the world. What for? What? For what purpose? To redeem men from sin, that they might not come under the wrath of God. I want you to mark this. They've despised people today. They've despised the knowledge of God. It's not that they didn't know. It's not that they couldn't know. You remember in John chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus said to the Jews of his day, and concerning this fact that he manifested, or he accused them of their ignorance of the Word of God, when he said, you do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me. He goes on to say, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. But having spurned me, the time is going to come when you will accept the Antichrist. He'll come in his own name, and him you will receive. He'll come under the wrath and judgment of God. Now, I want to say one more thing, and I don't like this subject, but it's in the book. In fact, I would say that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke more of this than any other writer in the New Testament. He talked about where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus talked about everlasting punishment. He talked about the righteous wrath and judgment of God. And when men despise the Son of God, when they reject the Word of God, they say by their actions, we will not have this man to reign over us. Then the footage is verse 5. These terrible sins of society are manifest. Why? Because they've spurned the provision God has made for their deliverance. The character of the wrath of God is everlasting. They're going to be cast from his presence. What do you mean by that? They're going to be cast away from the place of blessing. You remember the 16th Psalm and the 11th verse says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. They're going to be banished from his presence. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm quoting from the book of Matthew. Do you remember chapter 7? Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not performed miracles in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What were their works of iniquity? Preaching in his name when they didn't believe him. Performing miracles, so-called, using his name. Casting out demons, using his name. Yet they had no place for him. There was no trust in the Savior. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Get out of my presence. They leave the place of presence, place of blessing. Another character of the wrath of God is its eternal, impenetrable darkness. Do you remember in the 49th Psalm, the psalmist talks about this. They shall go out and never see light. God is light. And if I'm banished from the presence of the one who is light, there is nothing left but impenetrable darkness. Oh, friend. Oh, friend. Jesus was the light of the world. And if I spurn the one who was the light of the world, there's nothing left but darkness. Now, let me just say one more thing. The reason for them being cast out of his presence is in verse 6. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. You see, the wrath comes upon them because of their sins. Their destination is determined by their relationship to Christ Jesus. You remember in the book of Revelation chapter 16, where the wrath of God is poured out. This is the pouring out of the wrath of God upon men. And you'll notice, as you read the book of Revelation, they're judged in the presence of the Lamb of God. You know, this is a frightful thing when you think of it. And if I may just stop here for a moment. John, the Apostle John, is the only one who ever called Jesus the Lamb of God. Now, here is an astounding fact. In John 1:29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In the same chapter, he said to his disciples, about verse 36, John said to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God. John lost his disciples. And that title, the Lamb of God, is not given again until you come to the book of Revelation. And 28 times in the book of Revelation, I read about the Lamb of God. Now, the frightful thing is this. When men are judged, they're going to be judged in the presence of the Lamb. You read chapter 6 of Revelation at the end of the chapter. What do you find? What do you find? It's going to be a great prayer meeting. The kings of the earth, the chief men, the captains, every free man, every bond man shall call. Notice what they're calling upon. They call for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Then you go over further in the book of Revelation, and they're going to be judged in the presence of the Lamb. The one they spurned, the one they ridiculed, the one they cursed, is going to be their judge. And my friend, don't tell me that God will send them away. Men will be glad to get out of the presence of the Lamb of God. And if I may put it this way, kind of bluntly, hell will be heaven to the man out of Christ. No man in his sin, full of his unbelief, in his rejection of the Savior, will want to stand in the presence of the Lamb of God. I've had men say to me, Mr. Mitchell, I'll take my chance. I'll take my chance. Listen, friend. Oh, listen to me. You don't have any chance. Your chance is now. Your opportunity is now to receive the Savior. There'll be no chance then. No such thing as a second chance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the one who's going to raise you from the dead to stand in his presence and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And you'll be banished from his presence, as the 49th Psalm says, into outer darkness. Now, this is not a very nice topic to talk about. But friend, I must tell you the truth. I must tell you the truth. And when people say, Mr. Mitchell, why doesn't God do something? You ought to thank God he's not doing something with respect to the nations of the earth. God today is not dealing with nations. God today is dealing with individuals. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they are. I don't care how bad or good or indifferent they are. God is dealing with individuals. You see, Mr. Mitchell, I'm a good man. I'll take your word for it. Is that what you're going to tell God? Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. But my friend, what you have to stand in the presence of God is righteousness. Where can you find it? Where can you find it? There is only one righteousness in the universe, and that's God's. Isn't it wonderful that God has made the provision not only for you and me to be delivered from our sins and to be delivered from judgment, but God's made the provision whereby you and I can stand in his presence in all the righteousness of Christ. God has made all the provision, and he's offering it to you. In a sense, he's not offering it to nations. He's offering it to individuals of every nation. And here in this precious, blessed land of ours, which has been so richly blessed of God, Bibles in nearly every home, churches on nearly every corner, preachers all over the country, thousands of them, and yet the great majority of our people do not know the Savior. You see, while we're living in a Christian country, you're not, my friend. There are no Christian countries. You're living in Christendom, but you're not living in a Christian country. And what you need to know is the wonderful grace of God, whereby God has made the provision whereby you can pass from death to life. Even while I'm talking to you, God is offering to you his salvation, which is free. Allow me to quote that wonderful verse of our Savior when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Wouldn't you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You see, the time is coming when the wrath of God is going to come upon the children of disobedience. Disobedient? What do you mean? They've spurned the gospel of his Son. Upon those who know not God, who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who believe not the truth, who love not the truth. It's a question of your relationship. The measure of your judgment will be according to the things you've done. This is Revelation chapter 20. But my destination is determined by my relationship to the Savior. May I repeat that? I'll put it round the other way. My destination for eternity is determined by my relationship to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The measure of judgment is determined by how I live. I'm talking about the unsaved. When you accept the Savior, you become a member of the family of God. When you accept the Savior, you're no longer a child of wrath. You belong to Him. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus is saying to you today, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he that cometh to me, said Jesus, I will in no wise, under any consideration, turn him away. So I don't care who you are, I don't care what you are, the Savior is waiting to save you and make you a child of God. That means a divine pardon. That means divine forgiveness. That means to be covered with the righteousness of Christ, the recipient of eternal life. He's offering it to you as a free gift, to you as an individual. It's between you and Him. And I urge you, my friend, I plead with you to accept the Savior even today, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.